Yeah, so my message is really a lot of testimonies today, but it's what God's been telling me to say for a long time, because it'll stir you up in the Holy Spirit. Who likes to be stirred up in the Holy Spirit? Yeah, so it's called Divine Appointments. And, you know, I just love it when you know that God is speaking into your life about this, about a spirit-led meeting. You know, every morning I say, God, who I want a divine appointment. I want to meet somebody. I want to touch somebody. I want to pray for somebody. I want to love on somebody. I just want to give some big huggle. Whatever. I just want a divine encounter anew. And I just want to encourage you today in the divine encounters, because I know that we are in the last days, and there's people out there very depressed, oppressed. They need Jesus. They need us to shine with the glory of his presence, you know. And that's what I love. You know, even today I came feeling terrible, but God, you've got to just say, God, you're amazing, and he lifts you up when you're down. And God's ways are not our ways, because I was due for surgery on, it was Tuesday and then Wednesday, and then anyway I had to go to this doctor yesterday. He was a character, and he just wanted to talk to me. It was like a divine appointment, you know, and he just sat back, and he said, we have to put you on these tablets. I said, oh yeah, I know the ones. And he said, what's wrong with your knee? Because I must have hobbled in, I don't know. And anyway, he gets out one of these strap things and puts it on my knee. Now you've got to wear that, he said, so I go hobbling out this thing on my knee. And he said, now you can wear, he said, what do you do? And I said, actually, even though I'm older, I'm a pastor. Well, you can wear that in church. He says, you will kneel better, you will do better, you will... And I'm going out, and I was hobbling out with Clive, and Clive says, what do you want for tea? And I said, I have to have a pie. And I hobbled into Jester's Pies like this was this thing on my knee, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if I wore that this morning? But, you know, but I talked to him about, he works at Neville Cain's and does three free consultations to people, you know, for the people that can't pay. And I said, I've never heard of you. I said, are you a Christian? He said, well, what do you mean? I'm a Catholic. And I said, oh, God. I said, Catholics get healed and, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit. And his eyes are kind of like this, you know. But he just listened to me. It was amazing. But he said to me, because, you know, I got this kidney infection, and he said, you can't go into hospital this week. And I'm kind of more prepared. My case is packed. You cannot go in. So I'm not going into hospital for surgery this week. So it might be the following week. But when I went to sleep, God says, my ways are not your ways. So I don't even try and work it out. And I just think, well, God might heal me with a hobbling thing on my... He was such a character. I've never, ever experienced a doctor like that. My doctor's very polite. Is that right, Trish? You know, anyway, being in the right place at the right time in God is amazing. You know, I love it at Chartwell because you can really reach out to people. And everybody knows who I am in God, but do you know what? They do want hugs and loves. It's amazing. You know, and so daily I do pray for that. And our Father God carefully orchestrates divine appointments, obeying the voice of God, listening to them. Divine means relating to God. Divine is the nature of Jesus, being so devoted to God. That is a divine, being like Jesus, being devoted to God. And I just want to look at Acts chapter 8, and this is a divine appointment. And it just spoke to me, it came alive to me as I was reading it last night. I'm actually in the Passion, so you'll be struggling. But so I'll just read it to you. But this is a divine appointment in God. And it talks about Philip. After Peter and John had testified and taught the word of God in the city, they returned to Jerusalem, stopping at many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the hope of the gospel. Then the Lord's angel said to Philip, "Now go south from Jerusalem onto the desert road to Gaza." So Philip's hearing him, and this is what God is saying. Sometimes we have a direction. You know, sometimes God says, don't go that way, go this way. And then afterwards you find out why. Has anybody ever had that? You know, get a nudge. Don't go that way. But listen to what God, you know, God says, be here at such and such a time. And this is Philip. He heard the Lord. He left immediately. And so he immediately... he heard the voice of God and he stopped what he was doing to do the God's will. He had an assignment. He had a divine appointment. Wow. Along the way, he encountered an Ethiopian who believed in the God of the Jews, who was the minister of finance for Candace, Queen of Ethiopia. He was on his way home from worshipping God in Jerusalem, so he's very Jewish. As he rode along in his chariot, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit again said to Philip, go and walk alongside the chariot. See, I believe we're going to be where God is going to direct us so finely. God said this is a message for today, that he's going to direct us and we've got to be obedient to what he's saying. Well, so Philip ran to catch up. As he drew closer, he overheard the man reading from the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. Philip asked him, sir, do you understand what you're reading? The man answered, how can I possibly make sense of this without someone explaining it to me? So he invited Philip up into his chariot to sit with him. I just find that amazing. Philip stopped what he was doing. He went, even ran. He, you know, he just knew that he was on God's business. He ran with the chariot and then he sat with him. The portion from Isaiah we call it, sometimes it's the eunuch, but this is Ethiopian here. The portion from Isaiah he was reading was this. He was led away to the slaughter like a lamb to be offered. He was like a lamb that is silent before those who sheared him. He never opened his mouth, and in his loneliness justice was stripped away from him. Who could fully express his struggles, for his life was taken from the earth? So this is what the Ethiopian was reading out loud. And the Ethiopian asked Philip, please can you tell me who the prophet is speaking of? Is it himself or another man? And because Philip was there, Philip started with this passage and shared with him the wonderful message of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to be able to do that? To share the wonderful message of Jesus. As they were travelling down the road, the man said, look, here's a good pool of water. Why don't I get baptised right now? Isn't this amazing? A whole divine encounter in God. He meets someone that's Jewish, that didn't know Jesus, and his eyes were opened. I want to get baptised. And the man answered, I believe that Jesus is the anointed one, the Son of God. So he believed. The Ethiopian stopped his chariot and they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, Philip was suddenly snatched up by the Spirit. I'm waiting for that. In the Spirit, and instantly carried away in the city of Ashdod, where he reappeared, preaching the gospel in that city. See, he had an assignment, but God took him with a divine appointment. And the Ethiopian got saved, baptized all at once, and then God just picks Philip up and takes him on his assignment. See, God, you always catch up to whatever God wants you to do. Isn't that true? The man never saw Philip again. He returned to, this is what I love, he returned to Ethiopia full of great joy. Well, Philip, however, travelled on to all the new towns of the region, bringing them the good news until he arrived in Caesarea. I just love that story, and it's got the whole gospel there. But you see, God is saying that we have to be aware and ready and just saying, I want to be available, even though I'm busy, busy doing this, just say, I put that down. You know, sometimes God even stops you and just say, pray for such and such. And, you know, I remember my son, one night God just woke me up and says, pray for your son. You know, he'll have an accident if you don't pray, kind of. And so I prayed for the angelic realm to come. Anyway, it was where I lived in Tamahere, and it was a very windy road. And these two young lads, they came up the road, and Tim said to Guy Hooker, it said to him, just turn your lights off so the lights don't shine into mum's bedroom window. So they come up this windy road, and there's a cliff that goes like this. Anyway, they wound into this, and the fence stretched, and the top of the fence, the top wire, was just held the car there. It was wobbling. And they climbed out, and Tim comes in as white, and he said, you should see our car. How they got out, I do not know, but it was a divine appointment for me to pray, because they would have been right down the cliff. But God says, hey, we're going to get more of this. I'm going to just do testimonies of divine appointments. Is that all right?
Yeah.
One time I was in day clinic. I was getting a drip in my arm that took all day. And I was sitting there, and this old lady was over, sitting about three seats away. The whole place, Dacen, was full. And God said, I want you to pray for her. And I said, God, there's all these people. And he said, I want you to anoint her with oil. God, there's all these people. And I was connected to a machine that I'd have to, you know, people would see me. I'd have to cart it over to her. And she mightn't even want me. He says, go and pray and anoint her with oil. So I said, okay, God, I can do this. So I got my oil out of my purse. I went over to her, and I said, sweetheart, can I pray for you? And the tears just came down her face, and she said, I'm very sick, I'm dying, but I've been asking God for someone to come and anoint me with oil. And I believe it was anointing her to go to glory. It wasn't for her healing. She just hugged me, and we just prayed. I was in my heavenly language. She didn't seem to mind. And people were looking, but they could see the anointing of God was flowing. Something had happened. And, you know, I know that many of you would have divine appointments. There was one that I just loved. I was at a Jewel Austin. Anybody know Jewel Austin? Yeah. I was at a Jewel Austin. You know what happens with Jewel Austin, eh? Anyway, I just went on the floor. And when I was on the floor, I heard like a train. Clackety-clack, clackety-clack, clack-clack. And it was saying, Seattle, Seattle, Seattle. And I said, God, where is Seattle? It's in America, but where? Seattle, Seattle. And I'm going, how do I get to Seattle? But I heard it so clearly in the spirit. And anyway, I was going to Toronto with some friends, and I said, where's Seattle? And they said, oh, it's just on the border of Canada. And I said, oh, my goodness. And they said, we're going. Because I told them what God had said. And they said, we're going. So there was another lady friend, and she got us to stay in this place, and they were so demonic, and it was Halloween. And I stayed in this room, and it was so, they had pumpkins and lollies that were teeth, and I'm going, God, why am I in Seattle? And I was in an outside bed, and it was quite filthy, and the dog came in and the toilet and slurped water. I'm going, what is happening here? And the dog was going, slurp, slurp, slurp. And I'm going, God, you've called me here. I don't know why I'm here. But anyway, the next day this girl says, we're going to go to a church. And it was a Methodist church, and I'm going, God. Methodist? How is this? How this? You've called me to Seattle and nothing's adding up here, but I'm being obedient. Anyway, I went to this Methodist church and it was alive. It was awesome. And as I sat there, I just saw this man and I'm going, he needs a real touch from God. Something in me just rose up. Anyway, I thought, we were rushed out, you know, to this lovely lady's place for dinner. And I'm going, God, I'm in Seattle. I still don't know what you've asked me to do. And he said, just trust me. You're being obedient. Anyway, this young man that I had a heart for, that I just saw, you know, because I couldn't get up and prophesy or say anything to him, he came for lunch where we were. And anyway, afterwards, the lady said to me, we're sitting at this beautiful home, you've got a word for this young man. And I said, I have. And I had no idea what I was going to say. Nothing. But I'm going, this is why I have been sent to Seattle. And you know, I was standing there and God just gave me his whole history. I've never, like it was on a scroll, you know, and it was just like, and the whole thing just came down from heaven and his eyes were getting bigger and bigger. And I prophesied and I prophesied and I said, your marriage is just broken up. He says, I haven't told anybody. And I said, well, God's going to restore, God is going to use you. But it was a whole lot. I just went forever. And this young man, he just was so, he said, you've been sent from New Zealand to bring this. And he wrote in a Christian magazine that this woman was sent and she was anointed and she was shaking and everything. But but she was sent from New Zealand just to prophesy, and he got deliverance, he got everything. But, you know, it was like God had said, go. You know, and it was a time where it just so blessed me, and I was full of the anointing. And the lady said, you just want to preach, don't you? It was just before. And I'm going, oh, I've got so much preaching in me. I just want to, oh, break through. And she said, well, go for it. Then I think itinerant did open up, but I mean, a lot of people didn't cope with me because I was shaking, rattling and rolling. I'd been in Toronto and I'm going, and they say, do you want to come and speak? And I said, well, do you know what I'm like? I warned them wherever I went. I warned them. You know, I remember preaching on the floor with the mic. I couldn't stand up because the anointing was just, he plastered me down. He said, I don't want any of you but all of me. And, you know, and it's like, I don't know, God is, I just want to stir you up in divine appointments and what God's saying at this hour. Hallelujah. Well, another divine appointment was, it was a bit like Philip in the chariot, but it was in a plane. And I have shared this a bit, but I was in British Columbia? I was in British Columbia and I was flying just to Vancouver. And so it was quite a short trip, but these two men got on and they said, they were Christian, Salvation. One was not a Christian, one was a Salvation Army. And he said, I want to sit with that woman. And anyway, I was placed by the window, and then this Timothy and this John came and sat either side. Well, this Timothy, I just took off. They didn't even say hello. I just took off because they had already prayed for a word and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was speaking in tongues and it's not long from there to there, but in God's time, he did it. And this Timothy, and then I said, your wife is a worshiper? And he said, she is. I said, she's going to go to another level in the Holy Spirit. You're going to both be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when you go home, I want you to lay hands on her. And I just prophesied into her life. And anyway, the guy that wasn't a Christian, you know, there's that ad, I'll have what she's having. It was like that was what God just so spoke to this John that he said, I want, and I said, well, I haven't got time, but Timothy will be able to speak into your life. And the thing was, my son, who I just left from British Columbia, he was slurping over me, he was crying, and I wasn't glowing with the glory of God when I got on the plane. You know what I mean? It was like, my son's crying, he's not happy, and I've got to go, yet God, I was available. But my son's name is Timothy John. And I just thought, it's amazing. And I find that God puts you with people to help you to fulfill the plans, you know. It was like going to Toronto. The Lord said you to go to Toronto, a divine appointment. I haven't got any money to go to Toronto, Lord. I'm on a benefit. I'm not getting paid at this church. How do I go to Toronto? And God said, just go in, get your book your tickets, and just believe me. And I'm going, okay. And this lady came. This is a divine appointment. God woke her up and said, she said, you've got so many points of flight. I want you to give them to Trish. I was McHugh then. Trish McHugh. And she said, awesome. So she comes with these points, and it got me three quarters of the way to Toronto. And then I don't go around telling people that I need money and I'm going. I might say I'm going to Toronto, but the money came in. It was just amazing. And I meant to be in Toronto because I had divine appointments. I met Heidi Baker. And I talked to her and I said, would you come to New Zealand? And she said, I want to come to New Zealand. I've got to be careful here. But the church I was in, I said, we're getting this Heidi Baker. She's coming. It's exciting. And the pastor says, we're not having her, Trish. And I'm going, it's a divine appointment. But anyway, we did miss out. She went to Auckland. But we could have had her the first time in New Zealand because it was a divine appointment. And I remember Heidi just hugging me, and we were just rocking, saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I just felt that through worship. That was good today, Shane. I just felt the holiness of God, you know, just saying, yes, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where am I going? What is it? And, you know, if we pray daily, we will have a divine appointment, I promise you. You will be able to touch somebody, even if it's a hug or an encouragement. I have babies that love me. So when you have a baby come to you, the parents come. And if you take an interest, and then you're able to speak into their lives. Oh, yes, I had Liz's little grandbaby, Ruby, and I was eating chips, not pies. When I got on the doctor's scales, I said, they're wrong. You've got to take them back to Briscoe's. I said, the lady, what? Anyway, and then I still have a pie after that. But I was just a one. But when I'm going healthy, but when I'm going to be like Clive. Eat all the greenery you can eat. Greenery, greenery, greenery. I said, doesn't it get stuck in your teeth? And anyway, I was having coffee with Clive and little Ruby, that's Liz's little granddaughter. I had this big, huge chip, and I thought, Ruby, do you want this? Like this, so I give it to her. And then... I was eating them and the Lord said, she actually wants the lot. and Stephen was Liz's son was getting up to buy her. I said, no, you can have my chips. I'm going to have my chips. But yesterday Liz was saying, can we go and see Trishy? Yes. But and another time I was coming back from Toronto, and I have shared this, so just bear with me if you've heard it. But I was with Helen. We were totally drunk. We didn't even know. I think we were in Chicago, and we had to get on a train. And we had to get on a train to get to the place that we were going. You know, it was a huge airport, snowing. I said, God, if you ever lift this plane off, it'll be a miracle. But anyway, we were over there and absolutely intoxicated, and people were looking at us, but they were getting touched. But this little Korean pastor, vicar, I was here, and he sat down beside me, and he just fell off his chair. He said, what have you got? I said, what are you doing down there? And he gets up and he says, what have you got? And I said, oh, it's Jesus, it's the glory, it's the presence. He said, I've been at Toronto for a week, and I never got touched like that. So I said, well, we've got to go, but bless you. And he said, well, where do you have to go? And I said, somewhere over the other side in a train in Chicago. So he hangs on to me like this, and he said, I'm going where you're going. I want what you've got. And he even had his little collar on, you know, and he was hanging on, and I've got a suitcase here. We're both anointed. He said, keep going, keep anointing me. I just want everything that you got from Toronto. I didn't get a thing, but I'm getting it now. But I said to him, well, well, I said, actually, you did receive in Toronto, but we just got the breakthrough. Because sometimes you sit in the meeting and you think, I didn't feel anything. Then you go home and you go, ooh, glory, glory, glory. But it was like, and I just love this little man just hanging on to me and saying, I want what you've got. And you see, ooh, I believe, you know, when I was at a John Wimber, I love John Wimber's conferences, but he said, who wants to be a fool for Christ? And my hand went up first. I don't care how you use me. I don't care. I just, if I shake, rattle and roll, if I do peculiar things that the religious spirit doesn't like, I don't care. So I want to be a fool for Christ. Well, God really took. Yeah. I remember having a whole row of, two rows of ladies coming in. And because, what would I go? I go ho all the time. I go more holy now. But anyway, this is, we're not, and nyong, nyong. Oh, you did that well. Meow. Yeah, you have meow. That's meow means an acceleration. An acceleration in the. Oh, woo! Anyway, I had these ladies and they walked in and they were so prim and proper, done up like bags of chips. And no knee braces on. And I'll wear it next week. And anyway, they said, God, we don't want to act like her. And anyway, I just picked it up in the spirit, eh? I just did. So I just kept prophesying, praying anointing over them. Well, the whole lot were on the floor. Their hair was standing up. They were hoeing. They were meow. They were, and they said, I said, you tell God you're sorry. You know, religious spirits stink. And, you know, the Holy Spirit loves having fun with me. And he takes you to places sometimes that you don't expect to be there. You know, sometimes you think, this wasn't the plan of my day. God's ordained something to touch somebody, to pray for somebody, to lead somebody to the Lord. I've led someone to the Lord in Chartwell. I've spoken. I have bloods done every month, and this guy is from Fiji. He's Indian. He's very proper, and I'm going to get him to talk. He would never talk, so I'd chat away. Where are you from, India? I mean, from Fiji. And I said, oh, and I'd talk about the rugby or whatever. And he said, I've just been there. It's had 3 weeks of heat, and now I'm back here, and I'm going, oh, that's no good. Anyway, I started talking about it. He said, what do you do? And I'm going, oh, I've come talking. And I'm sure he says, here's this lady again. Like last Friday, he just looked at me. He just looked at me. He was really trying to work me out. But nobody will be able to. I can't. You know, he had the needle. He had the needle in my arm, and he kept looking at me like this. And then he'd go back and, you know, and I said, oh, you do a very good job. That didn't hurt. And he says, I'm glad you're all right. But he says, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, okay. Now, when people die, what happens? I said, they die. But he would be Hindu. They bury them pretty quickly. They don't get drained out and put stuff in, Botox in. But he was just so interested. How Christians and what we did, and how, you know, we exalted that person's life. They loved the Lord, and I talked about, you know, it wasn't Ian recent, but someone that had just passed, and how the anointing was so in the service. You know, I said, it's for Christians, it's a glorious day when you go to glory. You know, you're in heaven, you're made whole. And he's going, this woman, I don't know. And I said, this is true. When you know Jesus and you go to heaven, there's rejoicing. But he picked it up. He was listening. He wanted to know more. He always has questions for me. And I always go, Lord, let me have a divine appointment with him today. Yeah. And I was thinking, what do I say? And I said, do you know that's good Scottish blood you're taking? Are you Scottish? Yep. And so I was able to share, you know, you can bring everything out and just a divine appointment. Well, I think I'm finished. But I, you know, this, what's the scripture? The spirit of truth. And he gives you the spirit of truth. It's like when you hear an encounter from God, it's like Philip. You've got to hear and you've got to be obedient. God wants us to get on new shoes to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Wherever you send me, I will go, even if it's to Seattle. Oh. You know, God has been speaking to a lot of you, and I'm feeling it in the spirit. And it doesn't matter how old you are. If God speaks, he will enable you. You know, when I went to Seattle, I'm going, I knew it was just such a just, wow, I got the Holy Spirit. Whoa. When you get the Holy Spirit, you just get a knowing. And you know how you fight with that sometimes? Don't. You know, the lady in the hospital, I'm going, Lord, everybody look at me. Yeah, that's fear of man. I've got to do this. Yes, you've got to do it. Get your oil out of your bag. Go and anoint her with oil. And here she is weeping. She'd been praying for somebody. You know, Catherine Kuhlman said there were 3 men that were called before her. And they didn't obey. And God chose a woman. He knew what he was doing. I love you, men. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And he doesn't lead you down the garden path. He leads you to where God wants you to go. His wisdom, his counsel. Hey, and sometimes I'm thinking, I mightn't do it right. I don't even think about it now. I just go in there. But it's like, you don't have to do everything. You know how we used to pray, you know, healing, Lord, get us. You know, you'd go for hours on one subject. Where God is saying, I'm the God that healeth you. I'm the God, and you don't know. All you'd need to do is, like if you were in Chartwell and someone was hobbling along, Lord, just heal this beautiful woman, that she may be healed with your power, Jesus. People love it. So get those hands out. Let God anoint your hands afresh. For hands for cuddling, for touching in love, for healing the sick, for divine appointments. Oh, you've got the anointing all over you, Julie. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel God. Is it getting hot, is it me? He's putting oil on your hands and heat. Just feel that in the spirit. Put your hands out. Otherwise, you won't receive. There's angels in this room. Oh, can I just tell you about my angels last night? I'll get back to this. But I was feeling sorry for myself because, you know, he said, you've got a urinary infection and you're not well, and gave me horrible antibiotics. So I wasn't feeling great. And then Shane or Shelley sent me Stephen Shelley, and I listened to it, and then there was a song, Through the Storm. And I'm going, okay, I'm going through a storm. I listened to this, but it ministered to me. And then I felt the angelic realm come into the room. And you might think this is weird, but they massaged my head. They massage the anointing. If you ever feel sometimes like a movement in your hair, that's the angelic realm. Whoa. The angels, you know, but we've got to be open. We've got to let the glory come. We can't do things that are sinful and expect angels to come into your room. I mean, I had to get rid of all my negative and poor Trish and self-pity and, Clive, could you prepare a message because I'm too sick? That was right, Clive, eh? Well, but then the angelic realm came into the room. You know, and it was just so, so powerful. So the angels are here to anoint your hands afresh. Lord, I pray that you turn up the heat. Lord, they'll feel fire in their hands. And Lord, they will feel the oil. Some of you will get oil to touch people in divine encounters. Let the heat just be turned up a bit more. Beth, I could see the fire coming out of your hands. Both Beths. Thank you, Jesus. Who's feeling that heat in their hands? Or even a tingling feeling? Yeah, I see that's nearly all of you. How are you feeling? Well, she's drunk. Jesus, I like your new tenacity, Julie. I love your new tenacity. Whoa. Well, when she first came to our church, you weren't full of tenacity, were you? She was a sook. There we are. Now she's a whoa. She's a warrior in the spirit. Hallelujah. I said to this guy last night, the doctor, I'm not a normal pastor. I said, we see the glory. And I said, we have flags. We have people dancing when they get out of their seats. And he said, wow, that's different. He said, but he said, if you with that thing on your knee, you're about to kneel. And I'm going, oh, we don't do much kneeling, because he's a Catholic. He says, oh, we bob down all the time. I said, we go higher, higher in the glory. We go, whoo, Bianca, you're going to go higher than you've ever been before. You're going to fly. You're going to soar. You're going to be radical. You're going to get radical. Hallelujah. How many can say, I'll be a fool for Christ? Come on, say it then. Be a fool for Christ. Say it again. I'll be a fool for Christ. However he uses me, I will allow him. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, watch your space. Have divine appointments.